Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me via phone is my very good guest, Father Dennis Gill, who is the rector and pastor of the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul and the director of the Office for Divine Worship of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Father Gill, welcome.
David, hello, and hello to everyone who is listening to this show today.
Okay, well, thank you.
I'm very happy to be with you.
And I'm glad you're with us and with me. You know, we were trying to do this a couple months ago, but it was kind of in the middle of summer, and we all had very busy schedules and things. So I'm glad the Holy Spirit brought us together. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I asked Father Gill to come on is I want him to speak about the Eucharistic Congress of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia at the end of this month, September, on September 30th. Father Gill, I'm going to read a bit of the April 19th, 2022 letter, the intro from Reverend and Father Joseph Shinosky. And this letter went out to the clergy, religious, and lay faithful of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It says, this year's celebration, and this is for last year, 2022, this year's celebration of the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of the Lord on June 19th, 2022, also marks the inauguration of a three-year National Eucharistic Revival called for by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. The goal of the Eucharistic Revival is to renew the Church by enkindling a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. So, Father Gill, I would like to use that as our jumping-off point, and if you would like to elaborate what this means for the Archdiocese and the country writ large.
Well, thank you, Dave. I would like to begin with an observation that Bishop Robin Farron has made recently, and I think it's a very important one and worth all of us noting. He said that we are in the midst of a spiritual disaster in reference to the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds like very strong language, but when you consider that we have so few people going to Sunday Mass today, the numbers in some dioceses are as low as 10% of the Catholic population of the diocese. Here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we're less than 20.
Mm.
We believe, first of all, that the Eucharist is truly the event of Christ on the cross from the dead. You take that statistic with the number of people not going to Mass on Sunday, with recent studies with regard to the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, suggesting that it's very low, the number who actually believe that it's truly and substantially Jesus,
mm-hmm.
gives you some idea why Bishop Barron would say, in terms of the Eucharist, this is a spiritual disaster.
Yes.
The Church understands the Eucharist to be gift or treasure par excellence, as Pope St. John Paul II described it, given to her by Jesus himself. And so what do we do? Well, there's so many things that have to happen. And there are many, many reasons why we are at this moment in the life of the Church in the United States. But one of the things that was proposed by Bishop Barron himself was some sort of revival. Now, Bishop Cousins has taken on that work, and he is the overarching leader of the Eucharistic revival that's going on right now in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was to do two things. First, what was the grassroots experience, that is, it was for the person in the pew. And it was to, on the one hand, deepen the grasp of the average Catholic of what is the faith of the Church when it comes to the Eucharist. And when we say Eucharist here, we're not talking about Holy Communion alone. We're talking about the Mass itself,
mm-hmm.
that divine event of Christ on the cross and risen from the dead that happens on the altar. And as well, the gift that comes from that event, the bread and wine becoming his body and blood. So the first thing was to deepen the faith, the understanding of the faith of the average Catholic in the Holy Eucharist. The second thing was once someone comes to believe in just what the Holy Eucharist is, and has that firm grasp and faith of what it is. So the person then is called to live from it, to see their Christian life, whatever the vocation might be as a Christian, to be anchored in the mystery of Christ in the Eucharist. And so our American bishop said we need 3 years, but 3 years for the revival, but this work is going to be ongoing. It happened 1 year throughout the diocese, the second year throughout every parish, and the third year throughout the country. And so right now we're in the second year. And to emphasize the diocesan participation, we're having here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia a Eucharistic Congress. And as you already mentioned, Dave, that Eucharistic Congress will take place in Doylestown at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa at the end of this month on Saturday, September 30th. But only a small amount of people will be there. Even though it's sold out, we're expecting 2,000 people. We have over 1 million Catholics in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The Eucharistic Congress, though, gives us an opportunity to bring people together who will be nourished and fed by the mystery of the Eucharist, both in its celebration and in teachings on it, so that they might take this wonderful encounter and bring it to others. So that's where we are right now.
Thank you, Father Gill, for that that summation. Or that. So you mentioned the capacity is, what, about 2,000 people at the shrine, and it's closed. But I think I looked this morning, and you will be, or the Archdiocese will be, offering a virtual way to view this. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. So physically, the shrine can only sustain, in the beautiful upper church, a maximum of 2,000 people, and we've reached that limit.
Okay.
But because we're so committed to the possible impact of the Eucharistic Congress, we have made it available virtually. And we encourage your listeners to go on the website of the Archdiocese and look at what's available under the Eucharistic Congress and sign up for that virtual participation. It's a wonderful way to be a part of this great event that's going to be happening at the end of the month.
Father Gill, who are some of the other speakers besides yourself? I know, well, let me back up. I know Archbishop Nelson J. Perez will be opening the Congress. Is that correct?
Well, the Congress will open with a solemn mass at 9 o'clock, and the Archbishop will be offering that mass. A particular feature of that mass, Dave, is the choir. We put together a Congress choir of 200 people from parishes and groups all throughout the Archdiocese. And the music that will be sung will be representative of the mystery of the Eucharist, as well as all the different faces of people throughout the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Then at 10:30, we have the principal keynote address, and that will be delivered by Bishop Michael Burbidge. And his topic is the sacramental sacrifice of Christ, which is the core way we understand what the Eucharist is. The sacramental sacrifice of Christ, his gift to the church, and our response to his gift. And then in the afternoon, we have three main speakers. And these three main speakers develop what the keynote address is all about. And so at 12:15, I am going to speak about encountering the Eucharistic mystery, especially in terms of our preparation for it, our participation in it, and how we actually then live from it. At 1:15, we have someone who's probably known to many of your listeners, the Dominican Sister Jane Dominic. And she is going to speak about the real presence par excellence of Jesus and his holy body and blood, and how an encounter with the real presence of Christ compels us to adore him and to praise him. The third main presentation is going to be delivered by Dr. Edward Shree, which I'm sure many of your readers, listeners are aware of Dr. Shree.
Oh, absolutely.
He works for Ascension Press, and he is going to be speaking about Holy Communion, the worthy reception of Holy Communion, and with the worthy reception of Holy Communion, the life of a missionary disciple. That is, someone who is intentional in witnessing to Christ as they live the Christian life. Mm-hmm. So altogether, we have four principal talks during the day that will develop in a beautiful way our Catholic faith and understanding of the great sacrament of the Eucharist. But we have many other things happening besides. We have a parallel track for those who speak Spanish with their own speakers. We have a parallel track for those who are deaf with their own speakers. We have a parallel track for people ages 13 to 17, and another track for children ages 6 to 12 with their own set of speakers and activities. We want the Congress to be as inclusive as possible and provide as much as possible for those who will assemble. And then, in addition to all that, because it might be a lot of input for people, and plus, the Eucharist is not just about understanding, it's also about worship and adoring and living the mystery. We have opportunities for the sacrament of penance all day, opportunities for adoration, opportunities for the Holy Rosary, opportunities for the way of the cross. So you can see there's an awful lot happening in this one day. I'd also like to point out how at the conclusion of the day, we have something very special that's going to happen. We will have with us at the Eucharistic Congress the mother of Blessed Carlo Acutis. Now, Blessed Carlo Acutis is rather famous right now. First of all, he's a young person who was distinguished because of his great love for Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament and has recently been beatified. And so his mother is going to be with us and is going to give a witness about her own personal love and devotion to Jesus in the Holy Eucharist.
That is beautiful. I've read about
it. Yeah, it is beautiful. And then we're going to conclude the day with what we're calling a Eucharistic event and benediction. That is, everyone will be assembled again in the main church of the shrine, where we'll have a period of adoration and worship of our Lord in his body and blood, and then benediction, which will close our day. So I encourage the listeners to go online again, the website for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and look for the Eucharistic Congress, and you'll see this schedule right there. And again, if you're not able to be there in person, I do encourage you to be a part of it virtually.
Well, thank you, Father Gill. I was going to, if you don't mind, I was going to, under Article 3, the Sacrament of the Eucharist out of the Catechism, I am a beneficiary of, you know, going to the catechetical classes that Monsignor McGee and yourself and Megan Coakley and others have put together. I'm going to be starting my last quarter in this September, this month, and going to the end of December, I presume. And then, and that is, you know, the non-degree program that you and Monsignor put together, four years ago and started 2 years ago. Yes.
Please give your listeners a plug for that program.
Oh, I
we
will.
We want to develop that program as well.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I have mentioned that before, Father Gill, when I've had other folks on, namely Monsignor McGee. Yeah, he has been a frequent guest of mine on Spirit of the Delaware Valley. But it's the ICF, the Institute for Christian Formation. One can go to scs.edu and look for the ICF and the courses that are presented. And I understand from Monsignor that they're growing the program to include more virtual learning. And also, there are other programs, some that would end in in degrees. What I'm partaking in is not a degree producing, just a certificate, but it's a rich exposition of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. What I was going to do, if you would indulge me, the Sacrament of the Eucharist, 1322, says the Holy Eucharist completes Christian initiation. Those who have been raised to the dignity of the royal priesthood by baptism and configured more deeply to Christ by confirmation participate with the whole community in the Lord's own sacrifice by means of the Eucharist. 1323 goes on to say, quote, "At the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood. This he did in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the ages until he should come again, and so to entrust to his beloved spouse, the Church, memorial of his death and resurrection, a sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity, a paschal banquet in which Christ is consumed. The mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us." So I just wanted to read that because I was going over the Catechism on the Eucharist and the paschal banquet and such, 1382 and 1383. Father, would you like to expand with some of the time left on what I started? I was
fact,
hoping you would.
That particular article, and if you could just read the first sentence of that first article again for our listeners.
The Holy Eucharist completes Christian initiation.
Okay, stop.
Mm-hmm.
If I would say that to my mother, the Holy Eucharist completes Christian initiation, she would be polite because I said it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think she'd have a clue what it really means.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you take that whole paragraph, you get an insight to the Church's traditional understanding of what is the Eucharist and how it revolves around the priesthood of Jesus and the priesthood that he shares with us. The core reality of the Eucharist, the central reality of the Eucharist, is Jesus offering his life to his Father,
mm-hmm.
for the Father's glory and for our salvation and redemption. This is Jesus, the great high priest. This event happened once in history and continues for all eternity because it was Jesus who went to the cross, the Son of God. And so the eternal Son of God brings to himself all of his events in his earthly life to share in his eternity. So Christ, going to the cross, never dies again. In fact, that event continues at the right hand of the Father. Now, when you are baptized and when I am baptized, what are we baptized in? We are baptized in Christ on the cross and risen from the dead. In other words, we are baptized into the priestly action of Jesus. When we're confirmed in that priestly action of Jesus, so that we might be a part of the priestly work of Jesus that is the Eucharist. On every altar, in every Catholic church, when the priest is standing at the altar and praying the great Eucharistic prayer, it is the action of the eternal priest Jesus through the power of the Spirit and the words of the priest standing at the altar, bringing about here and now his saving death and resurrection, the event that glorifies the Father and shares with God's people God's holiness. Those of us who are baptized and confirmed, because we have a share in the priesthood of Jesus, we unite ourselves to this priestly act of the Lord. When the priest at the altar says, "Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father," and we respond, "May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands," it is the bringing together of the priestly offering that's carried out by the priest in the name of Christ the priest, in the person of Christ the priest, and the priestly offering of the baptized, so that together the Church with Christ worships and adores and praises the Father in his death and resurrection, which then brings to us the body and blood of the Lord for Holy Communion. And so the Eucharist is this tremendous, outstanding, amazing, divine event that's happening all the time at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and in a way through signs happens on every altar. And this is why the Church, in a most remarkable way, when she describes the Eucharist, doesn't first look at Holy Communion, doesn't first look at how bread and wine becomes the body and blood of the Lord. But what does she look at in that first article on the Eucharist? How the Eucharist completes Christian initiation, how it completes our belonging to Christ and to his church, and is rooted in the priesthood of Jesus and the priesthood of every Christian. It's one of the reasons why we need the Eucharistic revival, because we continue to just parrot things that we've learned as children, true as they might be, but not always giving the complete picture of what is the event of the Eucharist. Is this making sense, Dave?
Oh, absolutely, Father Gale. I'm enjoying this, and I know our listeners will be too as soon as they hear this. Absolutely. And it begged a question in my mind. Well, so the listeners, some of them may have fallen away, but maybe they're on the way back, or they're thinking, I should get back to my Catholic roots. Why do you, or what is attributed to the falling away? Is it an impersonal thing where, as you said, if your mother had heard what I had read, and writ large, a lot of people would hear that and they say, what does that mean? You know, they can't relate to it.
Let me give you an example, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you would ask most people what the Eucharist is, they would immediately go to Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when you're in second and third grade and you're being prepared to receive your first Holy Communion, unfortunately, you're not taught about the Mass. Mm-hmm. The Mass is the sacrament. The Mass is the event of Jesus. You're taught just about what communion is, which flows from the Mass, and I don't ever want to take away anything from what is Holy Communion. And so you're in your 40s and 50s, and just having this idea in your head that bread and wine becomes the body and blood may not be attractive to bring you to church.
Yes.
Because unfortunately you weren't catechized and then evangelized to know the fullness of what the Eucharist is. And, you know, we still hear catechists today just teaching what communion is and not what the Mass is. Mm-hmm. I tell this story all the time when I am talking about the Eucharist. When I was being prepared for my first Holy Communion, I had an amazing catechist. And she had us in church teaching us about the Eucharist, teaching us about the Mass, and she gave us this image that is still so vivid in my own mind. She said, boys and girls, look at that altar. This is what the Mass is. This is what the Eucharist is. When Father is at the altar and he is praying the great Eucharistic prayer, it is as if that crucifix behind that altar comes to life and slides into the paten and chalice. It becomes the event of Christ. Now, we teach that marriage, when a man and woman is married, the reason it's a sacrament, the reason it's a sign of Christ, is that when the man donates himself to the woman and the woman to the man, it is a sign of the way Christ gives his life to the church on the cross.
Yes.
And Christ gives his life to the church on the cross in a way that's permanent, faithful, and fruitful. Now, a married couple receives the ongoing capacity in their relationship as their marriage matures to be that sign of Christ, to continue to donate themselves one to the other in a way that's forever and faithful and fruitful, not only because they receive Holy Communion, but because when they go to Mass, they actually enter into the very mystery of Christ on the cross at the altar, my sacrifice and yours, so that when they receive Holy Communion, they're eating and drinking with Holy Communion the very event that brought them together as husband and wife, of which they are a sign and is the indispensable source of helping them to live out their married life. I use that example because most Catholics today do not understand that the power, strength and all the possibilities to be an intentional follower of Jesus comes from the Eucharist, the Eucharistic prayer, the Mass, which then comes to us with Holy Communion. Mm-hmm. For many Catholics, it just begins and ends with Communion, and it's an incomplete understanding of what the Eucharist is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, although there are many, many reasons why people are not going to church, but one of the principal reasons, to my mind, is a lack of formation in an understanding of what the Eucharist is and how to truly participate in it, and its impact on living the Christian life.
Thank you, Father Gill. And hence, the revival, called for by the USCCB, and we're in the second year, as Father Gill had said. And at the end of this month, ladies and gentlemen, September 30th of 2023, at Our Lady of Częstochowa, will be the Congress. And you also alluded to next year, I understand, Father, that there will be a national gathering of probably 80 to 100,000 people in Indianapolis. Is that correct?
That's correct. Dave, I want to mention, my concern is for the other people who won't be there.
Yes.
You know, we have a great work ahead of us as the priests and people of the church to once again fuel the church with a faith that's alive in the Eucharist.
And I would even say on fire for the Eucharist.
Right.
Yes, Father. I would offer anything that we and Holy Spirit Radio can do, and myself, beginning with this interview, and to facilitate that in our local area, our listening audience. We are heard in Delaware, and we're heard in Jersey, and you know, up into the Lehigh Valley, and up through the terrestrial radio, the signal. But we can be streamed worldwide. So if I can help, and we can help in any way, shape, or form, give me a holler.
I would love
to do that.
I will. This was very enjoyable to be with you.
Well, and likewise, the reason the Holy Spirit put on my heart to, and you know, I don't give up easily. My wife Barbara would say, and but I wanted you to come on because of your teaching. You're just a fabulous priest, and your belief in the Eucharist, and as you say, not just communion, but it's the Eucharist, and that's what this whole event, I mean, this revival is about, is to spark and re-spark the love and the understanding in people's minds, which maybe they have, for whatever reasons, as you say, and have fallen away. The thrust of this is to reignite the fire for the Eucharist. So, Father Gill, with the time remaining, do you close us with your priestly blessing? Thank you.
Dave, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Father Gill.
This blessing is for you and all who are listening. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty Father, we call upon your holy name and ask you to send upon us your every grace and blessing. Keep us ever attentive to the word of your Son and the promptings of your Spirit. May we know the nearness of the prayers of our Blessed Mother Mary and all those who pray for us from heaven. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, thank you.
St. John Newman and St. Catherine Drexel, pray for us. Two Philadelphia saints dedicated to the Holy Eucharist.
Amen, Father. Amen. And I want to invite our listeners, if they have any questions about the Eucharistic Congress that's coming up or the revival, and I'm sure that they're aware of it through their parish priests and others and maybe others, Catholic media. But you can call 215-345-1570, which is the station, Holy Spirit Radio in Doylestown, and if I can field any questions you may have or pass on someone who can answer those questions, I would be glad to do so. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners, and this is Dave Parker for another special edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And I thank you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon. God bless.